It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 19th. I'm Ben Johnson. The chip company Qualcomm announces earnings today, and you're saying, so what, Mr. Johnson, right? It is true the average user of technology doesn't necessarily recognize Qualcomm. It's not a household name, but its chips are inside a household item, which is also the subject of the company's latest ad campaign.
It's your phone. And all the reasons you love it, all the incredible stuff it can do. Qualcomm invented the stuff that made that stuff possible.
We'll see how Qualcomm's invention of that stuff is pulling money in for the company when it announces earnings today. Whatever those earnings are, the company faces trouble from antitrust regulators in the EU over how it negotiates with phone makers. And it's in legal battles over sales of Apple devices in the U.S. Here to talk about how Qualcomm is doing is Jim McGregor, principal analyst at Tirius Research. Jim, thanks for talking. Tell me about the ubiquity of Qualcomm.
Every wireless network around the planet is qualified using Qualcomm chipsets, pretty much because they are the leader in advanced wireless technology, especially cellular technology. And then they do hold a very large share of the market for wireless chipsets. They're also used heavily in the automotive market for telematics systems like OnStar.
It is an interesting time for chip makers, right? I mean, companies like Intel have struggled to pivot, I guess, as the world goes mobile. Some chip companies are being bought or created internally for larger companies like Apple and Google, which drive the business. How has Qualcomm been doing?
Qualcomm's definitely faced its own struggles over the past couple of years. Some of the top smartphone vendors have switched to doing their own processing solutions for their devices. That includes the likes of Apple, Samsung, and Huawei. The smartphone market as a whole has slowed down. We saw very subdued growth. In addition to that, you have to worry about where the growth is coming from. A lot of the growth in the market now is coming from the mid to low tier of the smartphone market, which means lower revenues, lower margins, not the premium phones like the iPhone 7, the iPhone 8, and the Galaxy 8. That's one reason Qualcomm has really looked towards branching out into other markets, whether it's AR, VR, machine learning, all these different areas, and is also seeking to acquire the largest embedded semiconductor vendor, NXP.
Jim McGregor, he's principal analyst at Tirius Research. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we are talking today about things a lot of people use all the time but don't necessarily have an intimate knowledge of. What the heck? Let's talk Bluetooth, the consortium behind the technological standard that connects my phone to my car and my portable speaker and on, made an announcement this week. It's created something called Bluetooth Mesh. This has implications for non-Wi-Fi networks of connected devices that could someday soon be running lighting and other things in buildings all over the place. Here to explain is our homie and editor-in-chief at CNET, Lindsay Turrentine. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks.
So I know me some Bluetooth, and I know me some mesh networks. What is Bluetooth Mesh?
Well, Bluetooth Mesh, which was announced yesterday, is this idea that eventually all your Bluetooth devices may be able to talk to each other separate from your Wi-Fi network. In other words, you can imagine a scenario like you walk into your office wearing a smartwatch. That watch communicates with a light bulb in your office. That light bulb turns on, and maybe that light bulb talks to some other light bulbs to say, oh, somebody's at work now. We need to turn on the lights in the bathroom. And all of that is happening separate from Wi-Fi.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why separate from Wi-Fi? What's the point of that?
There are a couple of points. One is that it's easier to set up in some ways. Right now, to set up something like a smart bulb, you usually have to have a hub that connects that bulb to the internet and then connects it to other things via the internet in, say, your house. If you can just basically screw in a light bulb and it speaks via Bluetooth to another light bulb and to, say, a smart speaker and to something else in your house, and you can instantly control all of that with your phone, that's a lot easier to set up, and it also requires less bandwidth from your Wi-Fi network.
I have to say that, like so much new technology, the flip side of the potential good here seems pretty surveillance panopticon-y.
Well, I guess by way of reassurance, I would say that's coming anyway. Surveillance.
Oh, you made me feel so much better. Thank you.
I know,
you,
right?
Frog to the other frog. The water's already boiling.
That's right. Exactly. There are smart cameras everywhere already, and they're using Wi-Fi. This is a cheaper, easier way to do the same thing.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And things are looking a little peaked at Google Fiber these days. Fiber is Alphabet's gigabit internet service provider meant to ruffle the feathers of a precious few ISPs in the U.S., or at least learn from competing with them in certain markets. Fiber's just recently hired CEO, Greg McRae, is now stepping down. Reasons are unclear, though McRae reportedly made some sexist comments while being interviewed in front of new employees. But there might be a bigger, at least more direct problem for the company's challenges. Doing infrastructure, like digging the trenches and laying the fiber optic cable and all that stuff. As AT&T and Comcast and others keep telling us, it is hard and expensive. Alphabet might be learning that the hard way. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.